Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
26 days without rain. That's what we had, and then Halloween comes in, and just in time for the kids to trick-or-treat, it's going to time out where that's where we get a real chance for showers this afternoon. But, you know, we'll see what happens. Watch the radar, see what's going on in your area. Maybe you'll be able to dodge it, and maybe you're not even going to trick-or-treat. Either way, be aware of that. Highs of 85 and looking into the future. None's going to change for the next week, and it really is hard to get a feeling for the passage of time, because here we are, Halloween, and looking at November and daylight saving time going away, and usually there's like some really cool weather kind of get you in the mood for that, but it seems like it's summertime, right? We're going to talk about immigration now. It's 6:14. We have a big problem with immigration in this country. Locally here, Kenner Police yesterday saying a fourth alleged victim has come forward in a child molestation case against 17-year-old Luis Renan Bonillo Alfaro. He's a Honduran in the country illegally, accused of sex crime against boys that police said are 4, 7, and 8, and a fourth boy that's unidentified under the age of 13. It's been captured on his own phone, and the police have the phone, and this guy's looking at life in prison if, I guess, we keep him here in this country. He's been turned over to ICE, and an ICE detainer has been placed on him. So I guess when you look at this story, you can look at it as either child molestation, if that's your frame of reference. You can look at it as a problem with immigration, if that's your frame of reference. To be clear, factually, not all immigrants that are in this country legally or illegally are child molesters. Secondly, most child molestation, just to keep the truth in this, cases involve people that are family members or that the victim is well acquainted with. With all that being said, every action, and as a physics thing, right, has a separate and opposite reaction. So with that in mind, we thought we'd talk to David Beard, Director of Immigration Studies at the Cato Institute. Former President Trump has pledged mass deportation if he's elected. Now, there is a societal aspect to that, but there's also an economic aspect to that that could cost the country some money. And with that, we welcome in David Beard. How you doing, David?
Good. Thanks for having me.
I just wanted to get all that out because people are going to start texting in with this and that and the other thing. And it's like, OK, there you go. That's the news. That's the facts. Now let's talk about what former President Trump has said he would do and what that would look like, both, I guess, economically, societally, et cetera.
Well, he's promised mass deportation. And you have to understand, look, you know, you're not going to have me on your show saying I'm for illegal immigration. I don't want illegal immigration. I want people to come here legally. I want people to have legal status. I want them to go through a vetted and screening process to screen out these criminals who you're talking about. That should be the focus of our laws and our law enforcement. Unfortunately, from my perspective, mass deportation does not put the proper focus on the criminal population. That mass deportation means indiscriminate. We're not going to prioritize the criminals ahead of anyone else. We're going to just go after them all equally.
Wait, hang on a second, David. I just want to interrupt for 1 second because I think that's important what you just said about prioritize. Because what that means is just by casting the wide net, you could be deporting people that are helping the country economically, and we'll get to that in a second, while using those assets for deportation, wasting them on people that are not causing problems, allowing people that are causing problems, the criminals, to still be in the country, right?
Absolutely. And we have to actually see it in context. The goal of our immigration enforcement should be the safety and security of the United States, and that should always start with people who have caused problems, who have committed crimes, who have become known to law enforcement. And that's the way it's historically worked. It wouldn't work that way if you had indiscriminate mass deportation operation in effect. So security should be the focus. I think that's obvious. So before we even get to the economic part of it, yes, it's an economic negative to have people here committing crimes, but that's not the main point. The main point is we should have safety and security as being our top priorities, not just see how many people we can get out of the country by any means necessary.
So if we're going to triage this and we're going to determine who gets deported and who doesn't, we got to have information. We got to know who's a criminal, who's not, right? Do we have that?
That's right. Well, I mean, you have people who've been here for many years. I mean, the vast majority of the people who are here illegally have been here for over a decade. So we have a significant amount of sample size to say, okay, what have they been doing when they've been here? They've been supporting themselves and their family, leaving people alone. That's a reasonable way to start. Okay, let's start with the people who have proven that they're not committing crimes for a long period of time. Let's set them aside and focus on people who have committed serious offenses. And unfortunately, there are people out there. They're more difficult to get than just, I don't know, the guy who's going out in getting a driver's license. But those are the people who you should be spending more assets, more resources to go out and find, not just whoever shows up at, you know, any government office.
So what happens when an illegal immigrant in this country commits a crime? I don't know if it depends on the state or the jurisdiction. In the case that I cited that happened here in a suburb, the guy was turned over to ICE. I don't know. Do you deport him? Because here's the thing. You got a child rapist, and I'll say alleged, but he captured it on his video, and the police have the phone and the video. If you give him the ICE and they deport him.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Chances are he's back in the country the way things stand now. Tomorrow, who knows, right? So,
yes.
Do we then put him in?
We should still punish people. We should still punish that person to the fullest extent of the law. You still want to deter future activity and obviously prevent future harm by prosecuting people who commit these crimes, regardless of where they're from. Now, if he's from, you know, I don't know anything about this person, but you know, if they're from a country very far away, then that makes it much less likely that they'll be able to get back. I think we have seen some improvements in recent months when it comes to security. But yeah, I would be much more comfortable if he was prosecuted and incarcerated.
So that brings up the point, and as we'll talk more about the economics as we come back. But jails are already full, so if we take the illegal immigrants, whatever percentage of that is, if it's 1%, 2%, whatever the number is, I don't know, that are committing serious crimes or that are committing crimes and imprison them rather than putting them out of the country, like Fred Flintstone with the cat, not to be disrespectful or anything, but that's kind of what it's like. You put them out, they come right back in. You got to have a sensible border policy before you even start doing this, right, David?
Well, I mean, obviously, you need to start with security at the border. You need to focus our resources on this population. I would note, you know, as a broad, you know, survey that is done by the Census Bureau every year, immigrants are less likely to be incarcerated than the U.S.-born population. So the population as a whole, they're less likely to commit crimes for which they end up in our prisons. But it's still important to obviously secure the border and make sure that, you know, we're keeping out public safety threats from the country.
I guess the point I'm trying to make, and we'll pick it up when we come back, before you talk about mass deportation, going back to, again, not to be disrespectful, but Fred Flintstone, where he puts the cat out and the cat comes right back in, it seems like that's what we're doing here. So you can deport as many people as you want. If you don't have border security, again, they're coming right back in. We'll pick it up. We come back. 622, talking to David Beard, Director of Immigration Studies at the Cato Institute. A horrible incident in Kenner, and this 17-year-old's looking at the rest of his life in prison, and rightfully so, if he's guilty of these crimes, which it would appear that he is. 622, traffic now, WWL. Immigration Studies at the Cato Institute. About mass deportation as promised by candidate former President Trump. And let me read it from the CBS story. American Immigration Council estimated it could cost $88 billion annually to deport a million people a year. The removal of millions of construction, hospitality, and agriculture workers could reduce the U.S. gross domestic product by $1.7 trillion. Tom Homan, who led U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, during the first Trump administration, says he doesn't know if the $88 billion a year cost estimate is accurate, but he says, what price do you put on national security? David Beer, how do you balance all of this? Every action has a reaction.
Well, I think you don't really need to balance it, right? We already talked about security being the focus. We should focus on people who have committed crimes in our law enforcement. That's common sense. I mean, that's what we do in our domestic economy and society. We focus on excluding people who've committed serious offenses. We prosecute them. We lock them up. We put them away, whatever needs to be done to protect the safety and security of others. Now, when it comes to immigration, immigration is a benefit to the country economically. It would be better if it was here, people were coming legally, of course, but even when people come illegally, they still work, they still create value in this market economy. So you're creating goods and services for others. That increases the size of the economy, which creates value for everyone else. That's the whole point of a market economy. The Congressional Budget Office, they do their estimates of how much this population surge will contribute to economic growth. They say the recent surge in immigration will increase the size of the economy by about $1.5 trillion. So you can basically subtract that from our economy if you reverse what has happened in recent years. So there is an economic benefit to it, but obviously we should have a system that focuses on security and vetting people and letting them, okay, at that point go on and contribute to the economy and do it in a legal way.
So before you talk about mass deportation, first thing you got to do is secure the borders. Correct me if I'm wrong. Then you need to identify who the bad people are. Then, unless you secure the borders, deporting them is not going to do any good because they're going to come right back in. So you would then imprison the people that are the bad actors. But even that's going to cost the country money. Accurate?
Absolutely. I mean, it obviously starts with securing the border. But also we need to have a legal process for people who want to come for peaceful purposes. Because if the Border Patrol is spending their whole time tracking down people who want to come for farm work or construction or wherever the case might be, that's distracting from border security. That's distracting from real security. We need to focus on the population of people who aren't, who are causing trouble. And in order to do that, you need to have a legal immigration system that works, that's functional, that's realistic for people, and responsive to the U.S. economy, which we haven't had really in decades.
David, I want you to come back, maybe spend an hour with us one day and talk through the truth of all of this about what a sensible legal immigration system would look like and how important it is to the economy of the country. We'll take a break, come back, talk to Mike Strain, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. Minute late time now, WWL First News.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.